Some of those amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Brother Ralph, the Lord be with you, brother.
As always, thankful for the privilege, the blessing, and all the things that makes it possible that we were able to do this. Always enjoy coming this way. Seems like we've lately been staying up here pretty much, up this part of the country, but I enjoy it up here, and each time I've come. Been a kind of rough week on me. I say to you, I come before you feeling very empty. Like I said, it's been a kind of rough week. A close friend I had called on to do a funeral for yesterday, my son's father-in-law. Had been very close with him and so forth. And like I said, it just seems that it took something out of me, and I haven't been able to get it back quite yet. So I looked at scriptures and tried to come up with something to have for the Lord's people when I'm called on. I run through the scriptures, and something led me to this portion of scripture, and I said, if I'm called on first, I'm going to read it, and that might be all I do. I think it's a very fitting first words for a meeting. To me, if you would want to put a title to it, a wonderful title. What a great God we have.
Amen.
What a great God we have. Let me read this to you. The 95th Psalm. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are all the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down.
Amen.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Mm. Surely some good words given us there, and as I would say, you might say it that way, somewhat of an outline of what I would hope would take place tonight, tomorrow, and throughout this meeting. You know, there's no better text or subject to ever speak on or to have in mind than the great God that we're able to come before and to worship and to praise. You know, God has given us many things. And as we think upon him and think of things which describes, if you will, I don't know exact words, God to us, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of grace. I've got a list of things a mile long that I can't even number all of them. But you know, a thing, and if I recall right, in a verse here, somewhere close to this, it brought my mind to it. And a thing that we overlook and we don't talk about a lot, that is as much one of the attributes or one of the things of God as anything else that we can talk about. And you know, that's one that we really don't want to talk about. We don't like to talk about. We don't hear to talk about a lot. And that is the wrath of God. The wrath of God. That's as much a part of God as any other thing there is pertaining to God. The wrath of God. I'm sure that so oftentimes, in there's many scriptures, many places that we can go. I even read somewhere, I think in the book of Isaiah, someplace where God made reference when he was talking to his people, to people that he had chosen in bondage in Israel, his chosen people there. He used in one sentence, someplace there, wrath, fury, anger that he had against his people because of their disobedience. Because, you know, as it said here, they would not, because of unbelief, they would not enter into the rest that God had prepared for them. A land of milk and honey, in a place, I can't go there right now, and I can't, but someplace in the first part of Deuteronomy, there's, let me see if I can find it. Let me start reading a portion in First Deuteronomy, the first chapter, 34th verse, and a few verses after that. And the Lord heard the voice of your, and the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see this good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of, I couldn't pronounce the word, Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in hither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And we find not even just there, but in Isaiah's writing, I think in the 25th chapter of Isaiah, he makes some statements along the same lines. When God had pronounced upon the people that they were going to be taken into captivity, they were going to be under the control of the king of Babylon, and taken into this heathen nation and put in bondage because of their disobedience, because of their turning away from God and not following and doing as God had given them laws and things to do. And even told his own people, these people that he had taken out of Egypt and carried for these many years in the wilderness and so forth, that he would even take the weapons of their own hands and turn them against them at this time when they was going to be taken away in captivity. If the truth were being known and we were able to put it together, I would say that there is more pertained in the scriptures, in God's words, pertained to his wrath and his anger down through time. And not so much in the New Testament time, but in the Old Testament times, we find more about the wrath of God being brought upon people, upon evil people, upon sin God has no use for sin, and where there is sin, God's wrath is going to come forth. God's wrath is going to always come forth. Sin, disobedience, it's all sin. And in many times and in many places, we find God's wrath poured out on His people. But you know, and I'm going to be brief, I find a couple of places in the New Testament that speaks of the wrath of God. In the 5th chapter of Romans, 9th verse, it says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Amen. Him." Another one, I can't find it. 1 Thessalonians someplace, there's a verse in the first chapter that says the same thing. That we'll be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I mean, we could think so much, you know, and quote it again there, the verse of Scripture, because of the hardness of our hearts. I think we find some reference of that in the book of Hebrews, pertaining to the hardness of our hearts. A thing that I think that we're still capable of today, if not be, then the Lord surely wouldn't have given us instructions pertaining to the hardness of our heart in the way that we're able to, if you will, I know from experience, to run from the things of God, to turn our back upon God, to have no desire for the things of God until a day and a time or whenever, when He has whipped us long enough and enough that for whatever the reason, the whole thing changes, the whole world changes, it all turns around, it all goes in a different direction than it ever went before. You start having this great desire to hear of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He paid for our sins,
Amen.
That He stood at Calvary, that right. He poured out His blood,
Amen.
Made the atonement, that today we have remission of sins in all these things. You know, the wrath of God was taken care of.
Amen.
At Calvary for all the whole family of God.
Amen, brother. Truth. Amen.
Judgment Day was that day. Today and tomorrow and forever. If the Lord's blood was poured out for us, we stand as pure today.
Amen.
As the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And if that were not be true, then God would not be God.
Right.
You know, God swore to Abraham to bless all nations of people. All nations of people. Surely all nations of people have been blessed. Blessed. As I said, it comes to mind, and I don't know when I'll get rid of it. That which the Lord Jesus Christ did, the whole matter of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and did is so far beyond the imaginations of man that man could ever have anything to do with bringing it about or performing it or any of those things.
Amen.
And yet He came and done it alone and done it perfectly.
Right.
and done it in our stead.
Amen.
The Son of God, the Son of God, took the wrath of all, of the whole family of God. What wonderful news. Amen. What wonderful things that we can gather from the gospel in hearing this. To take away the sin debt. The only thing that ever troubles me about it is, how can I, and how am I able, and I am, to not keep in my mind at all times the love that God poured out, the outpouring, the great showing of love that took place at Calvary, that took place on the cruel cross that our Savior hung on. How can I not that be buried in my mind so deep that I couldn't wander, that I couldn't stray, that I couldn't still do things that would be troubling, that would not be pleasing to the Lord? You would think that love that in fact in the fifth verse of Romans, that love of God that's been bestowed upon our hearts. It troubles me why it has not grown, why it's not changed me, that I'm able to do better than I do. Yeah. It troubles me.
I know.
For what He did for me, for what He did for you, for what He did for every one of His at Calvary, it troubles me why we're not able to better walk and follow Him. It troubles me. I wish I could do better. I wish for all I'm worth I could do better. But somewhere and sometimes it fails. You know, I'm going to quit there, and I'm going to have to tell you a little bit about yesterday and this week. As I said, it's been a very humbling thing to me, and I promise you I haven't gotten out from under it. But last Sunday evening, my son's father-in-law, he'd been in and out of the hospital. He didn't go to church. I think everybody was worried about him. Was he saved, his family? Some of them, I know some of them were very concerned about it. I get called to do his funeral. And this person, to me, I don't know who the Lord's people are. I hope and pray that he's one. But in the example that I see, in the love that I've seen in this person, that's far above the able that I'm able to love and do, that you didn't have to be somebody great, you didn't have to be somebody good for him to love you. But anyway, he had occasion to preach to him a year ago at the little church that used to be a hospital during the Confederate War, that's there in the county where I live. And he came there that Sunday, and I really enjoyed that Sunday there, and it was a good crowd, and I felt like the Lord blessed me as well there as probably ever in my life. But on every occasion almost that I've seen this man after that, he spoke about that Sunday and about the things I said. He loved. He said, I heard everything you said. I love what you said. And you know, to me that said a lot. Last Sunday afternoon after church, Sister Pat and myself went there and sat by his bed. And a man that a month ago was in turmoil about his health, and he wasn't ready to die. And you could tell that he was just all to pieces about his health. And last Sunday after church, Sister Pat and myself went there, and I'd never seen a person so happy. He was happy to see me and Sister Pat and all of his family that was around the bed. And we talked and talked to him there Sunday evening. And he asked me, he says, "Well, if things take a turn for the worst, will you preach my funeral?" Well, I told him yes, I couldn't refuse. And of course his wife and everybody else goes to a different denominational church and so forth. And I can't remember the day, Tuesday I guess, he passed away. Eat some sherbet, drink Coke, and went to sleep. Just went to sleep. Told his family, I think sometime Sunday morning before we got there, he asked them, are y'all keeping me for this, or is it for me? He told him, if it's just for me, pull the plug, because he was on breathing apparatus and so forth. It was so humbling to me, and such a wonderful occasion. Like I said, it's in my mind, on my mind, but just to see how the difference in a person can change. And you know, I read a verse of scripture, and sometimes I might take a verse of scripture out of text, but I quoted a verse of scripture at the funeral out of 1 John, the 4th chapter, 7th verse. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Now, some would say, and I'm sure that you've got to stand and verbally and so forth say that the Lord is, or accept the Lord, we all know what you have to say. But we all know that that's not true. We know that the thief on the cross made those statements. Saved by grace. Saved by the free and unmerited grace of God. A sinner. A sinner. Such as we all are. I've said this before. We all have one characteristic here in this life. We're all sinners.
Yes.
We're all sinners. And if ever in any way, shape, or form saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
By the free grace of God. But Lord, what should that do to me? What should that do to me?
Amen.
May God bless you and keep you.
Amen. Just as